Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Registered Ear Offenders. I am one of the hosts, Sal Rodriguez. Across the way is my co-host, Chris Z. How you doing today, Chris?
Woo-hoo!
And you know what? Chris is dressed for the last day of summer. He is wearing a tank top to expose his bulging deltoids today.
Sneakers. I've got shorts. Rarely do you see me in shorts. I think of other people. That's why I rarely wear shorts.
Well, you know, you're dressed for the occasion. It's the last day of summer. I feel like I missed the summer because I'm now, I've gained so much weight, I am ashamed to go to the beach now. So therefore, I've missed out on summer.
We did, you know, we should have thrown a beach party, a beach themed party here, you know, with a ball full of air that we bump around the room and bikini girls that we don't have the budget to hire them. And we certainly don't know enough girls to... Hey, how would you like to come to the studio and just hang out in a bikini?
Well, I know plenty of girls, but none of the girls I know would wear a bikini.
Would you even want to see them in a bikini?
Maybe in private. Hey, okay. Listen, anybody who wants to join in on our conversation today, please feel free to call 1-800-893-9562. Chris, we got some fans all over the world now. I would like to give a shout out to our fan in Argentina, Walter Bonora from Campana, Buenos Aires.
Our first international fan.
And you know what? I'm so excited because they say Argentinians don't like Mexicans. You know, I remember being in the gym and I went up to this one girl. Her name was Raquel. And I said, hey, Raquel, are you Mexican? And she looked at me like I said, you have human fecal matter on your face. She goes, no, I'm Argentinian. So, hey, Walter Bernora, thank you for listening to our show, even though our show consists of one Mexican, but we do have another person of South American heritage
right
across.
You have me. I'm an Ecuadorian, so I'm kind of the middleman because I'm closer geographically and in other respects to Argentinian. I'm a fair skin, light eyes.
He looks down on Mexicans, the whole thing.
In other words, I would be your house N.
N. You don't even say the N word. You just say N.
Well, I'm sure Walter wouldn't mind me saying it, but out here it's frowned upon by polite society.
It is frowned upon, even on our
show. And rightfully so.
What do we got on our show today, Chris? We got an exciting show. We got a great guest here today. There's lots of stuff going on here at Registered Ear Offenders.
We do, Sal. Our guests just keep getting better and better, man. You know, we're a small operation. I'll be the first to admit that. But we've brought on some pretty heavy hitters, at least in my opinion.
I am excited about our guests. I am.
Today is no exception. We have musician, composer, and songwriter Wes Hambright. This guy's resume is two pages long. Feature films, dance organizations, theatrical, New York, all the way coast to coast, bi-coastal, this guy. It's a real treat to have him on the show.
And that's not to be confused. You know, when you Google Wes Hambright, you're going to get a lot of stuff related to our guest today. But you're also going to get some doctor, Wesley Hambright, who is a gynecologist. So do not confuse our guest today, composer, musician Wes Hambright, with gynecologist. I think he's in Pennsylvania, Wesley Hambright.
Or do confuse.
Perhaps our guest is an amateur gynecologist.
Right. And he's like, hey, you know, I'll try anything. hold on. Let me just scope out the clientele before I agree to this.
I actually had a client in the gym years ago who was a gynecologist. And one day I finally said to him, I go, come on, man, give me the goods. What's it like being a gynecologist? And he took me aside. He goes, hey, man, it's just not as exciting as you think it is. You just see a lot of stuff you don't want to see. I sometimes Google, I Google genital warts just because I'm morbid like that. I like to see what that shit looks like. And I've seen plenty of genital warts on males and females. And I'll tell you, I don't even have sex anymore.
Yeah, you know, and what's so disturbing about that is that's the most common type of STD, the one you're most likely to get. Is the human papillomavirus, HPV for short, also known as genital warts. And apparently a lot of people that get that are so, ashamed or embarrassed that they just pretend they ignore it, they let it go untreated, and that's when the warts continue to multiply.
Well, that's why you need to have sex with the lights on. Now, because I've gained weight, I don't have sex with the lights on anymore, but I do have a spotlight for whoever I'm having sex with. So they'll be in the light. I'll be in the dark.
You wear a miner's helmet.
I'll do. I wear a miner's helmet. I'll be in the shadows like the Phantom of the Opera, but they're going to be on the spotlight while we're having sex. What else we got on the show today?
Well, we got the return of sketchy characters, and as you know, that I'm really excited about that because, frankly, I uncovered this treasure trove, and you know, I feel like I brought something to the show. We procured a record player again back in the studio. We're able to play these old records. For those of you who are just joining us, I found a treasure trove of really old records. I think from 1949, roughly around that era, in my attic, and I've been playing them every other week or so on the show.
Well, we thought it was going to be like Al Capone's vaults, and you're going to be Geraldo Rivera, and it's just going to be a big disappointment, but instead you actually found some great stuff.
Yeah, they're pretty funny, man. I do say so myself. What else we got? We got Greatest Disappointments. I believe this is our second time ever doing Greatest Disappointments. And once we're done interviewing Wes, We're going to play Stump the Musician. It just becomes, you know, something of a novelty here on the show.
Well, we did last week, we had a personal trainer, comedian Jeanette Rizzi, and we did Stump the Trainer, where I competed against her. And today, Chris, who fashions himself a musical expert, particularly with lyrics.
Yeah.
So I've got a few lyrical questions, and we've got I composed a few questions. Chris has not seen them. It's going to be an honest battle of musical knowledge trivia, Wes Hambright versus Chris Z.
There's a show. I don't think it's on the air anymore, but it's called Don't Forget the Lyrics. And I auditioned for that show. And before you even get an in-person audition, you have to do a telephone audition that consisted of 25 questions. I answered 24 of them. They said I was the only person, to their knowledge, who had done that well.
You answered 24 out of 25 musical lyrical questions?
Correct, where they would give you they would maybe state the first stanza and ask you to repeat the next one, or maybe just fill in a word, or things to that effect regarding lyrics. But they went all the way back to the 70s. But I will admit, I have a weakness. Musicals, I'm completely unfamiliar with musicals. Any kind of contemporary country, I shy away from it as if it were genital warts.
That's your HPV. Musicals are your kryptonite, is what you're saying.
They're my Achilles heel. Yes, indeed.
I don't think that there's going to be, I don't think that I fashioned any musical questions today. And besides, that would kind of be an unfair advantage because I think Wes has composed musicals. So he might have a little more knowledge than you would.
And before the listenership panics, of course we have Sal's Weekly Rant. We always end on Sal's Weekly Rant. It wouldn't be Registered Air Offenders if we didn't have Sal's Weekly Rant.
You know what? I realize that I'm probably not angry enough. Because one thing I think, the name of our show, Registered Air Offenders, I pride ourselves on being offensive. And when I rant, I think I need to be a little angrier. So I'm going to try to be a little angrier today.
All right. But if it's not organic, don't force it, man.
It is organic, but I'm kind of a person who, I'm a laid back person and things do bother me, but I may have a tendency to kind of minimize my anger just to maintain my own personal health and happiness.
Well, with that said, we'll kick off Sketchy Characters, right?
Yeah, let's do it. One more time about Sketchy Characters. This is our second
installment
of Sketchy Characters. One more time what Sketchy Characters is, Chris.
A couple weeks ago, I decided to go up in my attic. I've been living in a rent control apartment. This building's got to be 4 decades old. I've been living there for about 3 years. Kept meaning to go up in the attic just to see what the hell's up there. I know we've had animals living up there at times. Literally, it'll sound like there's a human being walking around, upstairs, and it scares the crap out of me. I go up there. Fortunately, I wasn't attacked by a possum or anything like that, but I did find just some old kind of boxes of these old-timey 45 records. And they're basically radio plays. I don't know what the term I'm looking for is, but they're old-fashioned radio plays.
I think that is the term, radio plays. And for the casual listener who doesn't live in Los Angeles or other areas that do have rent control is a city ordinance that only allows the owner of the property to raise the rent by 3% per year. Therefore, it's called rent control. I believe in some municipalities, it's called rent stabilization. Essentially, what that also means then is that the owner does nothing to upgrade the building.
That's exactly what it means. If you saw my apartment, the inside looks as old as the outside. When I tell you that the building's 4 decades old, it looks 4 decades old, as does my apartment.
Well, your apartment, from what I've seen, it has hardwood floors, but it only has hardwood floors because the carpet has worn out to reveal the hardwood floors.
That's correct. I wasn't aware of that till Sal pointed that out. And I said, hey, look, Sal, I got hardwood floors here. Even you don't have that.
No, I don't. I haven't worn out my carpet yet because I, too, live in a rent-controlled building. Maybe another 5 years or so, once I've hit the 20-year mark, I will one day have hardwood floors.
Now, I will tell you, for about the first 2 years, we had the plumbing was very much like an old man. Like, just sometimes it was just weak and sluggish. And I would frequently have to fill up a bucket full of water to kind of help it along, like you would when your grandfather, you're helping him down some stairs, you got him by the arm. It was like that. I had incurred. Finally, we got sick of it, and they finally sent somebody. I don't know what this Mexican dude did, but he must have put some fucking turbo on my toilet because now it parts like the Red Sea.
At least Mexicans are good for something, right, Chris?
There is no machine that a Mexican can't figure out. I don't claim to understand it. I don't know if it's biological, psychological, cultural, but you put a machine in front of a Mexican, they'll have it, jerry-rigged, they'll fix it, whatever, effortlessly. I don't know if the school system in Mexico is just, focused primarily on mechanics. I don't know, but they're amazing with mechanics.
I think we're willing to just keep trying shit until it works. It's a system of trial and error. I fix things, but it takes me all day to do it. But eventually I'm going to do it.
But I, you know, having worked in restaurants, I'm telling you, I've seen this a million different times where, you know, these guys are like, you know, the any machine that breaks, you know, I'm accustomed to, all right, where's the number that we call? You know, oh, Manitowoc, they make the fridge, let's call Manitowoc. Now, Mexican guy's like, oh, this is going to take me 15 minutes at least, you know, and he's already got the, he's already got duct tape on his belt, so he didn't have to go get it, you know, and anyway.
Let's go ahead and run it. Nick, let's go ahead and run what Chris, the treasure trove of entertainment that
I
Chris...
I believe this edition is called Corporate Mumbo Jumbo.
All right, Sketchy Characters Corporate Mumbo Jumbo. Let's hit it.
And now Sketchy Characters presents Corporate Mumbo Jumbo.
I'm simply saying that as our top salesperson, he deserves the benefit of the doubt. Carl, you're early.
You know me, I'm on CPT.
I'll have you know, my husband is an African.
Chronically punctual time. Yay.
Have a seat, Carl. Carl, you know Maud Higgins from HR.
I do.
Well, we have a delicate situation on our hands. I'll just let Miss Higgins explain.
Yesterday, while conversing with Mona Levy from the mailroom, you used a highly offensive term.
Me? Offensive?
As per Miss Levy, you called her, MILF.
She took offense to married, intelligent, lovely female?
I told you there was a perfectly good explanation.
That is not what it means. Its meaning is wildly inappropriate for the workplace. That's why you're here.
Beg your pardon, Mrs. Higgins, but it sounds like I'm here because you and Miss Levy have salacious interpretations of its meaning.
He has a point, Maud.
I'm not so sure he does, Milo. Just because one person thinks red lights mean go.
Why don't we just Wikipedia the word?
That sounds fair.
Fine, I suppose.
Huh. Says here that MILF is a militant group which seeks to establish an Islamic state in the Philippines.
But it doesn't mean that here. Have you seen American Pie?
Nope. Carl?
Nope.
Let me try dictionary.com. What are there periods in that?
I don't know.
Dashes?
I don't know.
Oh, my.
You see?
Miley Cyrus called off her wedding.
No way, from Hemsworth?
Oh, for Pete's sake. MILF is a grotesque slang term meaning mother I'd like to fuck.
Mrs. Higgins, that was inappropriate. I'm considering filing a complaint.
Wait a minute. Dictionary.com lists several definitions. Mexican Independent Labor Foundation, Mammalian Institute of Lauderhill, Florida, Marijuana Initiative.
I get it. How about Carl signs an agreement that MILF, whether as a word or phrase or acronym, will not be used in this workplace?
That seems fair. Carl?
Whatever gets me back to work and bringing in revenue here.
Well, then I'll just dispose of this complaint form and you're free to go.
Live long and prosper.
Right back at you.
That is not the Vulcan hand signal. What you two just did was the shocker, a vile gesture that means two fingers in the vagina and one in the anus.
Carl, kindly return to your workstation, please.
Right away, boss. And Mrs. Higgins, see you next Tuesday.
Did you hear what he just said?
Well, what? Monday's a holiday.
Oh!
That was Corporate Mumbo Jumbo, brought to you by Sketchy Characters. I love how they had all these, what we think are present-day references, but apparently they had them in the 40s as well.
Yeah, they must have had a Miley Cyrus of their own back then.
They did, but that was Miley Cyrus. I think she was like the nephew of Lionel Barrymore.
Well, I like, it was they wanted to make it very clear that they were in an office setting.
That's the most annoying office.
Phones ringing off the hook at all times.
Well, how else would you know? I'm just sitting here hope that Wes Hambright, composer, was impressed by the sound design of that clip. That's all I kept thinking. Let's go ahead and get into our next segment, Chris. Our next segment is called Greatest Disappointments. This is our second time doing this. And this is where we go down memory lane and think about what were some of the greatest, just like the name implies, the greatest disappointments in our lives. For the last time, 1-800-893-9562. If you'd like to call in, Chris, go ahead.
Sure. Let me just preface this real quick. So you remember when we came up with this concept, one of the things about it, it's not just a great disappointment. It's particularly something that you anticipated was going to be phenomenal, you know, like a memorable.
Sure.
And it actually went the complete opposite way.
Yeah.
So here's my story. I've probably mentioned a couple times I've done a few USO tours, entertained the troops overseas doing comedy. And while I was over there, I was in the Middle East. I was in the United Arab Emirates. And they have prostitution, which is legal as basically as long as you keep it, you know, out of the public eye. You know what I mean? Keep it behind closed doors and you can get anything you want over there. So one night I decided to treat myself. And I want to make this clear. I've never been with a prostitute in any capacity. I've gotten a happy ending. But in my defense, she offered. I did not come soliciting it. She offered. And I said, well, why the hell not? So I go to this, I get taken there by an escort. Our escort for the tour, our driver.
Yes.
Who was a career Marine. And after about 20 years in the Marines, he got out and he became like a tour coordinator. And this guy was, I mean, this guy was a real live pirate. You know what I mean? He had his cell phone had pictures of various prostitutes that he frequented, you know, with their faces. I guess he could kind of scroll and see which one he felt like. You know, felt like having over that night.
Sure.
So he takes us to this little bar. We go into this really nice hotel. There's a door, a wooden door. You would never even, you'd think it was a panel, a decorative panel. He knocks on it. A little thing slides open. They recognize him by face. They let us in. It's a small bar, but patronized by beautiful women from every corner of the earth. Black, African, everything. Filipinos, of course. And, you know, I snoop around for a while and I choose this amazing 24-year-old Chinese girl.
How do you know she was 24? Because Asians may look younger.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose it's possible.
She could have been 50.
She looked young. And here's the thing that I really liked. She was chipper. She was pleasant. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like this kind of streetwalker situation where she's like, you know, just don't look at me.
No, Chris only believes in prostitutes with personality.
Right, exactly. You know, and they're like, no kissing, nothing of that. You know, just really nice and very warm, which, you know, helped me because I'll admit I was nervous. I'd never done anything like this before.
Sure, you want to snuggle with them or whatever.
So naturally, she only takes cash. And I go, cool, listen, I just need to hit the ATM and then we'll go up to my room. So I go to the ATM, right? And for some reason, it's just not working. It's not giving me the money I need. And she goes, hey, there's another ATM right down the block. So, okay. So I got her by the arm. We're walking like we're a couple. And man, I'm in my head. I'm like a kid on Christmas morning, man. I cannot wait. In 20 minutes, I'm going to be balls deep in this. So we get to the next ATM, right? And I realize that I don't know where my ATM card is. Somewhere between the first ATM and the second ATM, I don't know if I left it in the machine. I don't know if I dropped it. I don't know. To this day, I don't know. So, you know, I try to explain to her. She has a little bit of English competency, but not much. And, you know, so I run back to the other ATM. The card's not there. And I finally just had to tell, like, I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you, but I can't get money. I don't have the cash and I don't know how to get it. And now I got to go up to my room and call my freaking bank halfway across the world. And so it was from what should have been a colossal night, it was a huge disappointment. In fact, I'd say easily one of my top five biggest disappointments.
She didn't let you do her and then write her an IOU?
Surprisingly, prostitutes don't take IOUs. And believe me, I tried. I tried barter system, anything you can think of.
A copy of your stand-up CD, she wouldn't take it?
Right. I even offered to autograph it.
Wow.
And that didn't seem to impress her at all. But I mean, I can still picture, and I'm a guy who has trouble remembering people's names and stuff, but I can still picture her face as if it was yesterday. And this was at least 3 years ago.
This is not surprising. To the listener out there, I'd like to let you know that Chris does things like this. For example, Chris and I have an understanding that we take turns paying for parking. Today, Chris did not have enough money to pay the guy for parking, so he took some money from me to pay for parking. You forget things, Chris.
And to add insult to injury, I also forgot to purchase a prize. So I should apologize to our guest, Wes Hambright, because when we hold this trivia contest, you know, we're big dogs here.
Yeah.
We don't clown around. We gave away a tub of protein powder.
We gave away a jar of Trader Joe's protein powder to our personal trainer, Jeanette Rizzi, last week.
And this is not free shit. This is $10 to $15 range gifts that we give away.
Sure.
And I dropped the ball and I forgot to purchase the gift for Wes.
I wanted to have a Fender Stratocaster as the grand prize, but...
Right. What happened is I put in a bid for an old Hendrix Stratocaster with an autograph and everything, and I think somewhere along the line I just forgot to check the bid, so I apologize, Wes. I'm sure you would have appreciated that.
Let me get into my disappointment real quick. I used to hang out with this guy named Gabe Davila, a real good friend of mine back in my late teens, early 20s. He had I believe it was his cousin or his aunt named Gloria, who I had a big-time crush on. And at this time, we were going to a lot of 18 and over clubs. And that's where I used to pick up. The 21 and over clubs, I never had luck. But those 18 and over clubs, I used to really have a great time. Grew up here in Los Angeles. Florentine Gardens was a hot spot for us. So I think it might have been Florentine Gardens or possibly Quiet Canyon in Montebello. But so one of these places, I had told Gloria, I go, hey, Gloria, I'm going to go to Quiet Canyon tonight and meet you. I'll be there. So she's like, okay. And I had a big crush on her. So she knew I was going to go to Quiet Canyon to meet her. Well, like an idiot, I bought a bunch of flowers because I used to be all romantic before I became jaded and disenchanted. So I bought a bunch of flowers. I go to Quiet Canyon. I walk into the club. I look for her. I see her in the corner making out with a dude. She's there making out with some guy. And the thing that was so heart-wrenching for me was that she knew I was going to come. She knew I was going to show up. I showed up with flowers, and there she is making out with some dude in the corner.
Did you drop the flowers in slow motion?
I remember just hanging my head. That was one of those moments, I think, where my soul was crushed. You know, I could probably relay, this Greatest Disappointments is a great segment for me, because I could probably relay these little moments in my life where part of my soul was crushed and led me to be the jaded, disenchanted person that I am today.
Did Winger's I Saw Red play around you when this happened?
Is this part of music trivia? I don't know what that is.
It was, we should ask Wes, who sung that song? I saw red, one of those hair bands, and a guy walks in and he finds his lover in bed with another man. And so,
well, I was crushed. And yeah, let's go ahead and ask Wes what he thinks about that. Why don't you go ahead and introduce our wonderful guest today, Chris?
Oh boy, and this is a very abridged version of his resume. Wes Hambright, a.k.a. Orange Dog, is one of today's most exciting artists. He writes music for independent films, television, commercials, contemporary ballet, and multimedia contemporary dance platforms around the world. Wes is currently collaborating with Anthony Johnson and Ballet Magique on Les Vampires for upcoming shows in the West End of London. Recent television credits include music for American Idol, Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, The Travel Channel, Discovery Channel, History Channel, and for the last 10 years, his music has been heard consistently on Warner Brothers shows Ellen, Extra, Tyra Banks, TMZ, and most recently, Dr. Drew. Wes also performs with acoustic alternalicious pop duo Lonnie Starlet in and around LA. He plays piano, guitar, and he sings. Please welcome to the show, Wes Hambright. How you doing, Wes?
Woo! Wes, the first question I want to ask you, Wes, is it true that Gene Simmons is as much of an asshole as he was to me when I ran into him at Coffee Bean?
You know, that's a funny story. Actually, I had an interesting encounter with Gene Simmons years ago when I was working at record stores, and I was the manager of this one location of this chain around D.C. and Maryland and Virginia. And I was at the corporate offices one day, and I took a piss break from the boring meeting that I was in, and there stood Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley in the lobby. You know, wasn't expecting at all. And I was very excited. I said, oh, my God, it's Gene and Paul. You know, I was really excited and, you know, always been a big Kiss fan since I was, you know, yay high. And, you know, and Gene was like, hey, man, you're way too loud. You're way too loud. You're way too loud. And then I remembered their slogan, which this is, you know, when you have the moments when you go, I should have said this.
Sure.
You know, you think about it their shirts used to say, if you're too old, if it's too loud, you're too old.
Yes.
And I should have pulled that. You know, I should have pulled that one right out on it.
Woulda, shoulda, coulda. That opportunity. I gotta admit, that would have been good.
It's true. When I ran into Gene Simmons at the Coffee Bean, it was just months after I saw him in concert. I was on mushrooms, them in concert, and had one of the greatest times of my life. Ran into him just a couple months later at Coffee Bean. Hey, Gene, wow, I loved your show. I really enjoyed myself. He could not give a shit. He really could not give a shit that I went up to him and said that, really. And in hindsight, I just should have said nothing.
Right, yeah.
You know, the stories are all too common. I genuinely believe that those guys couldn't care less about music. They are, I'm going to get in so much trouble saying, they're Jews.
Music. You couldn't say the N-word, but you say that.
Music is a business. It happens to be the business that they're in. And they're going to exploit it to the hilt till the day they die. They're going to sell coffins. They could not care less about their fans. They just happen to have chosen that profession. Sort of like the improv with comedy. They couldn't care less about tomorrow's talent or nurturing good comics who actually have something to say. It's simply a matter of getting their representation out there. They sell comedy like it's soap, and Kiss sells music like it's soap.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, even from the beginning, they had the Kiss Army, which you could join, you could buy all the goods, you know, the extra stuff.
I love that your reward for being a diehard lifelong fan is the ability to buy more of their stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Wes, tell us about Orange Dog Music. What is Orange Dog Music? And I notice you don't call yourself CEO, but rather artistic director.
Well, you know, Orange Dog Music is kind of a blanket company that I started that kind of encompasses everything that I do as far as licensed music to film and television, or even the stuff that I do for contemporary ballet. It just became a kind of just a name to put everything under. And I used to have, God rest her soul now, a little orange dog named Disco. And we were very close. It just seemed like the appropriate name for everything that I do, and it just kind of stuck, and now it's one of those things. And some people call me Orange Dog, you know, so it's just kind of become one of those things that kind of happened naturally. You know, I just kind of put it as Orange Dog Publishing to get royalties, and then it just became Orange Dog Music, and it's kind of grown from there.
Hey, let's go ahead and play a clip of Wes Hambright and some of the compositions that he's created. I think some of you also have some of your group, right? Your personal acoustic group?
Not on this particular.
Oh, it's not. Song. I thought first song was from there.
No.
All right. Well, let's get into that.
I don't think so.
Let's play the Wes Hambright sound clip.
Before I get to know you, I'd like to know for sure. I'd like to be assured you get it up. You won't bring me down. Get it up. Oh, get it up. 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 Get it up.
Original compositions by Wes Hambright. Yeah, that first song I thought was a Lonnie Starlet song, the Get It Up song, which ironically is what my girlfriend plays for me Saturday afternoon.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
But Lonnie Starlet was not on any of those.
No, that wasn't Lonnie Starlet. That was actually a track that I created for, A Sophisticated Misfit, which was a documentary about the Orange County artist Shag.
Shag? Is that a rapper?
No, he's an artist.
Oh, he's an artist, like he
like
paints.
A retro, you know, you notice his, you know, you recognize his art if you saw it. He's got these retro, like these really cool, sleek, like characters, like from like the Jet Set era, kind of like the Jetsons meets, I don't know, something less futuristic and more like 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah. Okay.
What's it like being an independent composer, artist, musician? Are you just chasing down work all the time like the rest of us?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, that's kind of how I got into, you know, you're always looking for things, new, exciting things to do. And that's one of the cool things about being a film composer is there's always different subject matter, and it's always going to pull something different out of you as an artist. But yeah, I'm not represented by a manager at this point, so I'm always, you know, hitting festivals, on the phones, sending emails, you know, looking for cool people to work for. I mean, and at this point in my career, I'm really looking for those cool projects that really float my boat musically and intellectually, rather than tracking down everything and everything. But, you know, that's how it started. It's just like I'll take any film I can, any dance project that I can, and just kind of get my wheels turning. And now I can be a little more selective.
And go ahead, Chris.
What was the first step you took towards? I mean, you're clearly your roots were in music, mm-hmm. and at some point you said, you know what, I can go in this direction. I can do this as well. How does one do that, and why don't all musicians do that to supplement their income?
You mean to kind of branch out and do you know, films and TV and things like that?
Yeah. How did you establish any kind of legitimacy for your first couple endeavors?
Well, you make a lot of mistakes first, you know. What was that quote you mentioned earlier about making mistakes and learning from other people's mistakes? I really like that. What was it? It's better to learn from other people's mistakes as opposed to...
Oh, yeah.
Another show.
Another show.
Yeah, that was
okay,
on another show.
I was having trouble.
Yeah, it wasn't earlier.
Wes actually listens to our show.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I've been a fan for 13 years.
He was...
Mark and Brian, right?
That means for 12 and three quarters years, he was waiting for this show to start. He was patiently...
I actually auditioned for this when I was five. I would talk about myself and...
Probably before there was an internet, Wes was waiting for our show to kick off.
Yeah. Yeah, Wes, how does a young musician or young composer become the next Danny Elfman?
That's a good question. I think, you know, developing your own sound and taking, you know, a lot of different types of jobs. And it's really, I think, about relationships and meeting the right director. You know, I mean, Danny Elfman got... you know, was friends with I think he was friends with Tim Burton, and so, you know, he found someone that he could continually work with, where they met eye to eye, where they had similar sensibilities. And I think that's really how you do it. You find people that you have similar beliefs about how music should be written and how it should augment a film or you know, even a dance piece. So it's just developing that clientele that's going to continually be doing exciting work and that you're happy to work on. You know,
do you have a piece that you're most proud of everything you've done so far? Maybe it's your favorite.
If so, why? I think, you know, I did a documentary a few years ago called "Don't Call Me a Saint," and I think they kind of changed a little bit, you know, not only how I did things musically, but how I think about, you know, just everyday life. And she was a conscientious objector during the Depression, and a devout Catholic, but she also went, you know, spoke out against the church. And I guess, you know, that was one of my favorite projects because I learned so much while I was doing about this character. You know, when I first got the call to do the job, I'm like, oh yeah, a documentary about Doris Day. Yeah, sure. I hear the, and like, no, not Doris, Dorothy. And a lot of people don't, like, oh, I already created the score for Doris Day. Hopefully they'll call me about for her documentary, her life story. But you know, that in terms of creativity, I was able to do a lot of things. Creativity, a little bit of choral work, record some works from La Boheme that I really wanted to do. So, you know, it was the music was really well rounded. We had a small orchestra, we had some soloists singing, and I actually went to a convent and recorded some nuns, which was a lot of fun. A lot of it didn't make the film, like a lot of stuff that you record, but it was a really creatively, I guess, fulfilling, you know, gig.
What was that creepy music from that? What was that from? Was that from Psychotica?
No, that's not from Psychotica. That's from Odisseia and Piaget. That's a dance piece I did with the choreographer, amazing artist, Hae Kyung Lee.
And tell us about the Latina Dance Project, because I just the name alone, I'm interested.
I had a great time working with that that group. They are they're actually four. There's three Latinas and one Latino.
I didn't hear that. Yeah. I just heard the Latinas. That's all.
Lucky guy, right? And that particular piece was called El Sueño de la Razón. I sound more French there than Spanish.
That did sound French.
Yeah.
The dream of the reason?
Yes, the dream of...
Wow, check out Chris.
The sleep of reason. And it's all. It was actually a piece developed around the works of Goya, Francisco Goya, and that painting, that one particular painting. And it was a multimedia project that, was... encompassing everything from social commentary everything from immigration to global warming and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun.
Have you come across any projects that you had to turn down? I mean, is there a genre that you're not comfortable or confident in that you had to say, I'm sorry, I can't do this, because your credits are so diverse, your sound is so diverse. Are there things that you are not confident to tackle?
Chick-fil-A industrial video.
Yeah, I think at that point, I think not stylistically, there's nothing I wouldn't take. But, you know, if Mitt Romney called me, then I might have to say no.
Because Journey just made $500,000, right, to perform at the Republican National Convention.
Right.
That's what I heard anyway.
Right.
I mean, geez, what if they wanted registered ear offenders at the RPC? What would we do?
I would put my foot down. I say, you know what? No.
A million. We need a million.
You know, I'd probably
do it for dinner.
I have to go under a different moniker. Maybe wear a wig.
And tell us more about Lonnie Starlet.
Lonnie Starlet is myself and Paula Page, and we are an acoustic alternative duo. And we're actually branching out. We're doing a little more electronic stuff, but our bass is just in acoustic, acoustic songwriting. And we kind of pride ourselves in, she's a great lyricist. And I write a little bit of lyrics here and there, but most of the songs are her lyrics. She has a really good sense of rhythm in her lyric writing. And so we're really just trying to write the best songs that we can together and record them and play live.
We got about 3 minutes here. I want to ask you about recent film credits, Rendezvous, Cinderella Effect, and this one I have heard of, a dramedy called Love Songs of a Third Grade Teacher. What's that about?
Yeah. That's actually about, as the title says, a third grade teacher who is also plays in a punk band. And it's actually kind of it should say, and the woes of dating. It's kind of a series of dating events that kind of shape her life and make her decide that maybe looking for Mr. Right isn't the best path for her. You know, she's torn between teaching during the day, playing in a punk band at night, and at the same time looking for love, and it doesn't always work out. And it's actually there's some really funny bits in there where some kind of dating nightmares.
And what about you got independent horror feature Psychotica? How recent was that?
That was 2000, I think. What, 2010, I believe.
Yeah. Was it released commercially in theaters?
It's actually not in Canada. It was playing on TV. I don't think it actually had.
Was it an MOW for Canadian television?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was about a group of teenagers who were hooked on heroin, and they decided to go kick in the country. We're gonna go to my uncle's house. We won't have any junk out there, so we'll just all like detox together, and it doesn't turn out pretty.
Wes, speaking of drugs, talk to us about the influence of drugs on music, because you know there's a big movement to get people sober, clean and sober. But it seems like a lot of musicians' greatest work was when they were on drugs.
I'm gonna guess that you've dabbled, Wes. I'm looking at your influences here. It says Zappa, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, The Beatles, The Rolling Stones. I guess that at some point you've had an experimental drug phase.
Wes is on LSD right now.
Right now, yes.
Are you a clean and sober person? How does that? How has drugs been a part of your life or not been a part of your life? And how has that influenced your music?
You know, I think they used to be. You know, obviously they were a bigger part when I was a little younger and when I didn't have kids. I used to dabble a lot, you know, and experiment and write music at the same time. So I think it's interesting to at some point in your life, and it doesn't have to be a career choice to always be on drugs, but maybe to try different things and open up your mind. Whether you like it or not, it's still going to change you probably in a positive way. At least you find out stuff that you don't like about yourself.
You know when I was most prolific as a writer was in my early 20s when I had a little batch in my life of doing speed.
Oh, nice.
I was so friggin' prolific as a writer. I wrote like crazy until finally I said, oh, well, geez, I'm relying on speed to write. Maybe I shouldn't do speed anymore. And guess what? I write like a quarter of the shit now that I used to.
Hold on a second. You know, because there's quality versus quantity. What were you writing? Yeah.
I was writing shit, but I was writing.
I think the fact that you've never mentioned this face to me means it can't be that significant in your development.
I had a roommate in my early 20s who used to sell speed, and he did a lot of speed. So he would say, hey, you want to try some speed? So I went through a period. I was never hooked or anything, but I would do speed. Like, and I would be writing till 4 a.m. I'd write all this morbid poetry and shit.
And how did you imbibe it and take it? What's the word?
Oh, we would chop it up and snort it.
Oh my God, yeah, that's even worse than smoking it, right?
Well, we would smoke it too.
Why is it worse?
I don't claim to be a doctor, but I think because it's going directly into the bloodstream or something, where versus having to be processed through the lungs. And okay. Same thing. You can't, like heroin. You can snort heroin too, and they say that's worse for you than injecting it.
Okay. I know, wasn't it Stevie Nicks who had a hole in her nose from doing too much coke?
Wow, well, she must have stopped doing coke now, because have you seen how heavy she was? I mean, maybe she should do coke again.
Yeah, I do remember I did some stand-up at a recovery house a couple months ago, and one of the guys in the front row, he had outed himself as a speed addict, and I'm looking at this guy, and I go, did you mix your speed with ice cream? That's 50 pounds overweight. Hey, Sal, what do you say we kick off the game? We got... enough time to...
I'm excited to do this. I am the game show host.
Stump the Musician.
And this is called Stump the Musician. And I am going to... Now, I just want to say we are honest on this show. Chris has not seen these questions. I developed them myself through perusing the internet. And so I came up with these questions. Chris has not seen them. And Wes has not seen them.
Now, how will I know if I got the question right or wrong, Seth?
If you get the question wrong, you will hear... Ah. If you get the question right, you will hear... Ding, ding.
And how do I buzz in? How does Wes buzz in?
Yeah. You say your name. Okay. By saying your name, I will call on you, and then you will answer.
So you ask the question, and then we say, Wes Hambright.
Well, you could just say Wes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you
just say
Wes Hambright, I'll say Chris.
So here we are. Here's the beginning. First question of Stump the Musician.
Do you have any theme music for the show?
Any theme music? No theme music. The engineer's like, no.
If we want to contact Nick, we should use Facebook.
Yeah, you know what?
You want some theme music?
No, it's a little late. But I always look over at Nick and think, he's so busy working. He's on Facebook is what he is.
No, I got your show under control. We're good to go.
He's got our show in one side of his headphones.
Nah, I have it in both sides. No worries.
All right, here we are. Here is question number one of Stump the Musician. In what city and state was jazz trumpeter Louis Armstrong born?
Chris. Memphis, Tennessee.
Do I get a chance to steal?
In what city and state was jazz trumpeter Louis Armstrong born?
St. Louis. There's two parts of that. I'm going to say St. Louis.
The correct answer is New Orleans, Louisiana.
In hindsight, that almost seems like a requisite. You know, like he would lose credibility if that wasn't the case.
Question number two. Thank you. Question number two. In what year was Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven released?
Wes.
Go ahead.
75.
I'm going to say 77.
Can I steal?
The correct answer. What, you want to go ahead? No, you already answered. The correct answer is 1971, and the score is still 0-0.
I did not think it was before I was born. But.
Question number three. What was the birth name of the late rapper Eazy-E?
Chris.
Chris.
Oh, fuck.
5 seconds.
Just as soon as you buzz me, that's when I'll remember it, so just go ahead.
What was the birth name of the late rapper Eazy-E?
So this is my chance to steal. I'm going to say Jimmy Phelps.
Eric Wright.
You are correct. However, you missed out, but the name is Eric Wright. The score is still 0-0. Question number four. Complete the lyrics to this verse. They told him, don't you ever come around here. Don't want to see your face. You better disappear.
Chris. The fire's in their eyes, and their words are very clear. So beat it. Just beat it.
You are correct. It is actually, and their words are really clear. But we're going to go ahead and give it to you.
I'd give that to him.
Yeah, we're going
to
give it to you. Chris.
As his opponent, I have to say that that was better than I was going to do.
It was. Okay, so there we go. Question, it is now 1-0, Chris. Question number 5. Under what astrological sign was country singer Carrie Underwood born? Under what astrological sign was country singer Carrie Underwood born? Chris.
Talentless.
Wes.
Wes.
Scorpio.
The correct answer is Pisces. You know who got that? Lisa, my girlfriend who's an astrologer. She got that question right.
Wow.
It's amazing. Question number 6. From what region in Canada is singer Justin Bieber? From what region in Canada is singer Justin Bieber?
Wes. I almost combined my name with the answer.
Wes.
Toronto.
I'm going to say Newfoundland.
The correct answer is London, Ontario.
Okay.
I would have taken either London or Ontario.
I guess I'll admit that was pure conjecture, but it's because those people are typically not known for being for having high IQs.
Really?
Yeah, the Newfies, they call them. They poke a lot of fun at them. They're basically like Canada's Canada's deep south, I guess.
We just lost our entire audience base over there. You just dissed them all.
How would you know it? Most of it, 20% of our listeners are in far off Newfoundland.
We just lost 47% of your listeners.
The question number 7, and we are at 1-0, Chris. Mm. Complete the lyrics to this verse. I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. An older version of me, is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater?
Chris. Does she speak eloquently and would she have your baby?
How much does he need?
I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner.
Close. Mm. You had to, she speak eloquently, and would she have your baby?
And would she make a really excellent mother?
And then we're going to give it to you. You got it.
Wow, 2-0.
It is now 2-0, Chris, but you still have time. You still have time, Wes. We have about four more questions
left. I'm starting to get a hollow feeling in the pit of my stomach as if, you know, I'm kind of winning by default.
You're not winning by default, but you're ever so close.
Wes has been very sportsmanlike during this game. Like, I'm kind of, I don't know, I feel like we should, what about Nick? Nick, can you come up with a question in the next minute or two in case, you know, just so I feel better about my victory?
Oh, you think that I'm thinking you're...
Well, you know, Wes, are you okay with the proceedings going on here?
I have no idea some of these lyrics. I mean, I know the songs, but I don't, you know... The Easy E, the one. I hands off to you for getting that.
Okay, wait, let's continue. Question number 8. Complete the lyrics to this verse. They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway. They say there's always magic in the air.
Chris.
Chris.
Crickets.
But when you're walking down the street and you ain't had enough to eat, that glitter rubs right off, and you're nowhere.
That is correct. Chris is now 3.
That's impressive.
We're going to bulldoze through this. Question number 9. What is the name of the singer known as the Godfather of Soul?
Wes. James Brown.
All right. Wes has an answer. We got 2 more. It can be tied, and then we would need...
I am on the board.
Then we would need Nick to come up with a question, because if Wes were to answer these next 2 questions, we will officially be tied. The score is now 3-1 with Chris in the lead. Question number 10. In what year did the Sony Walkman become available commercially? In Wes. What year, Wes?
1981.
1984.
The correct answer is 1979.
Jesus.
Oh. Last question, even though we already have our winner officially. Question number 11. Julian Lloyd Webber, the younger brother of composer Andrew Lloyd Webber, is famous for playing what musical instrument? Julian Lloyd Webber, the younger brother of composer Andrew Lloyd Webber, is famous for playing what musical instrument?
Chris. The xylophone.
The piano.
The correct answer is the cello. And our winner of Stump the Musician is Chris Z.
All
but then again,
Chris.
He did answer 24 out of 25 questions on the game show that you auditioned for.
Yeah, that's a tall mountain for me to climb. I mean, with someone so... versed in music.
Can I tell you something? The one that I got wrong, I still remembered. It was, I don't remember the name of the song, but it's On the Disco. That song.
Oh, and, yeah,
that song. And what it was is I didn't know that that was the lyric. She says, on the disco round.
On the disco round.
That was a commonly used expression. I think Michael Jackson uses it in Beat It or Billie Jean, too.
I've heard that term, yeah.
On the floor, in the round. You know, that round circular thing. And I told him, I said, that's not a lyric. That's just her hitting a high note.
You know, and Wes, if I would have asked that question, Wes probably would have got it because of his Orange Dog Disco.
That's right.
He would have known that question. By the way, speaking of disco, I saw a woman walking into a paint store carrying two cans of paint, and she was not walking like John Travolta whatsoever.
I didn't...
Oh wow! Was that improvised, or did you have that one written down?
No. Believe me, it would have turned out much nicer if I would have had
Sal's
it prepared.
Been waiting 53 minutes to slip that in.
Let's go into Sal's weekly rant, and who is our sponsor for today?
Sal, are you suffering from male pattern baldness?
Yes, I am.
Perhaps alopecia. Well, you can get a great hair replacement system, perfectly tailored to you and affordably priced for as little as $500. No initiation fees. No monthly club dues. Ever. No monthly credit card charges, just personal attentive service by the salon owner. Call Tamir Melamed today to schedule your private appointment. This is Deja Vu Hair Salon at 21785 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills, California. That number is 888-591-8881. That's a toll-free number. Again, that's 888-591-8881. That's Deja Vu Hair Salon for all your hair system needs.
And what's that website there?
LosAngelesHair.com. That's all spelled correctly. LosAngelesHair.com.
And that is our sponsor for Sal's Weekly Rant, which, right. and this rant is going to be very similar to what we talked about earlier and how as we get older, things get louder. Monday morning in my buildings, Monday morning is my building's gardener day with loud and noisy leaf blower. Tuesday morning is the streets garbage day with loud and noisy truck. Wednesday morning is the streets recycling garbage day with loud and noisy truck. Thursday morning is my left side neighbor's gardening day with loud and noisy leaf blower. Friday morning is my right side neighbor's gardening day with loud and noisy leaf blower. Saturday morning is my across the street neighbor's gardening day with loud and noisy leaf blower. Sunday morning is the only morning for sleeping in. So my question I propose is, can a residential neighborhood organize noisy days and quiet days? How about all gardeners and garbage trucks come on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, making it noisy days, and Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays are quiet days? So the question is, am I just getting older that loud noises bother me? Perhaps I'm not a city boy at heart. Years ago, I went to Hot Topic for a t-shirt for my nephew, Steven. Do you have any Slipknot t-shirts? I had to yell over the loud music. Hey, do you think this music in this store is too loud? No, said the facially pierced teenager. Me and my over 30-year-old ears left the store. There's an urban legend that our hearing becomes more sensitive as we age. Loud noises become more pronounced. Scientists theorize that this is to recognize and respond to danger. Well, perhaps neighborhoods need to acknowledge that not everyone lives a 9-to-5 lifestyle. Turn off that leaf blower, sir. Friday is quiet day. Can a community organize quiet days, or is that too Orwellian? What do you guys say, Chris? Wes, you guys want to chime in on this?
I have something to say.
No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, you've got street cleaning on, you know, they relegate that to what, one day a week, or maybe two days a week?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because on my street they do the recycling, the trash, and the green bin, you know, all in one day. So yes, it's a really loud morning on, I think it's Wednesdays in my neighborhood. But it's kind of weird that they waste another day. Well, they should consolidate all that stuff. At least start there. Consolidate that all that on one day.
Yes.
Aren't leaf blowers illegal?
Oh, only if you're not Mexican. If you're Mexican, it's legal. If you're not Mexican, you cannot. Wes could not have a leaf blower on his back, but I could.
Hey, man, I'm Mexican.
You just put 15,000 Mexicans out of work.
Don't you remember? Actually, maybe it was before you got... Well, you were born and raised here.
So I was born and raised in Los Angeles,
There was a big ordinance in L.A. to stop leaf blowers,
yes.
Make them illegal. They had the landscapers gathered down at City Hall.
Yes.
They protested, and I think it actually passed. They're not supposed to use them.
That's true, but let me ask you this, Wes, as a musician, Is it true that as we get older, we become more sensitive to loud noises? Like, for example, when I'm in a restaurant, I want the music to be the background. I don't want it to be the foreground. I want the conversation to be the foreground. The music's in the background. What happens as we get older to our ears?
I think that does happen. I think at the same time, our ears probably get a little worse, but then we're more tuned in because we're trying to hear more. And I definitely know what you mean. I mean, it's not a mystery why, you know, some people who listen to heavy metal kind of gravitate when they get a little older to maybe hard rock, maybe pop, and then they get a little, you know, I think our ears mellow to what we find appealing. And I don't think leaf blowers are ever appealing.
What about leaf blowers putting it? Have you used any leaf blowers in any of your compositions?
Actually, no. I haven't used leaf blowers, but in my last composition I did for Hey Kyung Lee, I used vacuum cleaners, and I recorded them and sampled them across the keyboard and kind of created sound palettes out of that. But not leaf blowers.
Sound palettes? Have you heard that expression before, Chris?
No. What is that?
It's basically when you can take any sound, like say... a vacuum cleaner, and you record it, and then you can map it across the keyboard in the computer, and then you can, so it changes pitch. So you try to match a pitch where you think it's living, and then you find that on the piano or whatever, and you go, okay, so this is almost around the B flat, and then you sit there at B flat as the home pitch, and then what it does is you can decide how far it maps it across the keyboard, and so it goes higher and lower as you go up and down the keyboard. The vacuum cleaner sound, add effects to it, add some reverb to it, some delay, and it really gets, you know, it really gets interesting that
now,
way.
Now each key does what? It reproduces the sound just in a kind of a higher or lower.
Exactly.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Just click and drag. You know, you just click. These days, it's a lot easier than it used to be.
We would like to thank our guest, LA-based musician, composer, Wes Hambright. Wes, is there anything you'd like to plug or any projects you're working on right now or a website you'd like for our listeners to go to?
You can check out my music at orangedogmusic.com. You can connect with me on Twitter and Facebook through my website. Check out what I'm all about there.
Orangedogmusic.com. Chris, you're bouncing around town. What are you up to?
I'll be performing at Harrah's Rincon in San Diego next Thursday night. Really looking forward to that gig with the comedy legend Monique Marvez. She's been in the game about 20, 25 years. Easy on the eyes as well. And there's the Ventura Harbor Comedy Festival. If you happen to live out there by Oxnard, Ventura Harbor, I'll be performing there. I believe it's next Friday on The Clean Show.
Cool.
It's The Clean Show. Now, Chris is dirty on the air here, but he's clean when he's on stage.
I have that look, man. I'd say my whole existence is characterized by walking two worlds. I'm Latino, but I look as white as, you know, any Midwesterner.
Yeah, you don't look Latino to me.
He doesn't look Latino. He looks like a white. He looks as white as you, Wes.
No, doesn't he?
Oh, and let's not forget our guest next week.
Who is our guest next week?
I finally pinned down Max Cook, master impressionist Max Cook. In my opinion, the single best unknown impressionist. I mean, he's got some IMDb credits. He's done some stuff, but... hey, that's our show, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sad news, Nora Ephron died this week.